Welcome back to another episode of the Dear Fathers Podcast. I am your co-host, James Meeks. And before we get into this dope conversation today, as always, I got to tap in with my boy, Jesse Alex. Jesse, how you doing today, bro?
Bro, I'm doing good, man. I'm feeling good. I'm excited about this conversation. I feel like we've had, you know, NFL players on, NBA players on, and I think this is our first MLB guy for it to be a legend. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm excited about this conversation.
Definitely excited about this one too, man, especially being an LA sports fan. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome an amazing father, two-time World Series champ, MVP, and five-time All-Star Mookie Betts to the Dear Fathers Podcast. Mookie, what's good, bro? How you feeling today?
Man, I'm cool. Thank you guys for having me on, man. This is pretty dope.
I appreciate you jumping on, man. And as we said, we're big fans of yours, man. And when we get these conversations started, we really like to take it back. Like, everybody kind of knows the amazing things you do in your sport nowadays, but let's take it back to your childhood. Talk to us about what your upbringing was like, and specifically, what was your relationship with your parents and your father?
My upbringing was actually really, really good. My parents weren't together, but they worked really well together. They're like the best friends. I don't know. They couldn't be together as a couple, but as far as they were like best friends. I mean, after school, it didn't matter. One of them would pick me up. All my games, they both were there. I mean, spelling bees, anything, they both were all there, you know. So everybody thought they were together. And, you know, that goes to show, you know, the relationship that they had. And then my dad worked for a little while, but he retired early because he's a little older. And so once he retired, man, it was, you know, I was playing ball, you know, eight years old, traveling everywhere. He was with me every step of the way, taking me to every practice, every game, every city that we were going to. You know, he was right there. I mean, I was pretty much his priority at that point. So, you know, our relationship is amazing, man. That's my dude.
Yeah, that's solid, man. And what's interesting about what you said, and it's kind of a rarity, at least in these conversations that we had, that your parents weren't together, but people thought they were. Because a lot of times what we hear through the podcast or when people submit, you know, their stories, it's like, a lot of times it's like if it doesn't work out as a couple, there's that conflict in raising the child. So salute to your parents for, you know, not being able to work as a couple, but still putting you first, man, and you reaping the benefits of that. I think that's dope.
Yeah, no, it was cool, man. I mean, I still don't understand the dynamic now. I mean, I call my mom or call my dad, and they're over there. My dad's over my mom's house fixing up her kitchen or hanging up paintings and all those type of things. And then they, you know, he gets out of there. But you know, sometimes we'll be driving on the road to, you know, 4 or 5 hours away. And you know, when I was going to summer ball tournaments, and they would just argue about the sky being blue, you know, whatever. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, they're the best friends again. So, you know, it really was neat how it was, but weird, but you know, whatever it is, what it is.
Now, that's really cool, man. And like Jesse said, I think that's amazing that they were still able to kind of persevere and move beyond that. But you talked early on about your dad kind of retiring and then taking you to your practices, your games and things like that. But we want to go back to like the whole baseball aspect of you. How did you first know that baseball was going to be your calling? Was that something that your dad put you on to? And then a follow up question is, were there other sports that you were playing too growing up?
Yeah, no. So I didn't know baseball was going to be what I was going to do until after I graduated high school. So, I mean, I was just playing baseball because I was good at it, you know. And so my dad really just let me do whatever I wanted to do. I mean, I said I wanted to play football, and a couple of weeks later he had me, you know, playing football, bought me everything, ready to go. You know, I wanted to quit, but he didn't allow me to quit just because, you know, football, you know, he said, once you start something, you got to finish it. But yeah, I played everything, man. I played everything growing up. I mean, he had me in everything, and he really just allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do. He just wouldn't let me fall too much. You know, he would let me make my mistakes, but because you have to learn through the mistakes and whatnot. But he just didn't let me fall too much, man. So it was just, playing sports was definitely my calling just in general. He let me get a job once. I worked for 2 weeks, got one paycheck at Finish Line. And I told him I hated it. because I would have to rush after practice to try and get to work, or, you know, sometimes I'd have to miss practice because I had to work or whatever. And then, like I said, I was only 2 weeks, so I really only missed like one or two practices or whatever. And I told him I didn't want to do it anymore. He said, as long as you keep your grades up, I'll make sure, you know, you're good. And he held his word.
No, that's solid, man. I think there's a lot of subtle things in that that kind of instill things in you as a young child. And I want to ask, like, you know, in a sport, you know, you're in baseball, there's a lot of times not a lot of people who look like us that play baseball. So growing up, did you have anybody that you looked up to, or, you know, what did that look like for you?
You know, I had my cousin who played in the big leagues for, he played 14 years, but I wasn't really watching the big leagues so much. He was more like, I knew he was there, and, you know, he would send me a couple gloves, send me a couple of pair of spikes or whatever. But no, man, it was really just me and one other guy, but the other guy, he played a little bit. He wasn't around too much. He was only around for probably 2 years or so. Mm-hmm. But really it was just me and my dad, man. It was just me and my dad on the team. And, you know, we just got accustomed to being around, you know, all being the minority, should I say, just being the only one, really. It was just me and him. And anytime we saw another black player, man, we'd make sure we go holler at him. You would definitely see my dad going to talk to their parents or whatever. But, you know, we just got accustomed to it. We had each other. You know, it was me and him. We woke up, we would go to breakfast. We would get to the field, you know, way too early, probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours early. But he went and bought a Acadia. I don't remember what kind of car. Acadia is all I remember. And he made sure that I could watch movies and play my game, you know, while we got to the field way too early, and just to hang out and chill. Because he just instilled, like, being late, and, you know, it's terrible. He just instilled all the little qualities. Now that I think about it, without me even knowing, you know, the stuff that he feels like is important, you know, he put it in me. And I didn't even realize that he did all that. But, you know, I know my dad's a great man.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, man, because how you're describing your dad and how punctual he was and what he was doing with time, and it seemed like very organized. I was going to ask you, was he in the military? Because, like,
yeah, everything. He was.
That makes perfect sense, then. So he kind of made you militant and having like an actual like routine about what you're going to do, where you're going to be, and how you're going to get there. You probably taking that with you all the way into life, because you don't make it to professional sports, you know, without having like that maniacal kind of routine to be great. So I think that's really dope that he put that in you at an early age. But kind of speaking to that, man, you know, you're still fairly young and, you know, really successful in your sport. But do you ever kind of stop and just think about like everything that you've accomplished at such a young age? And then secondary to that, what else are you looking to accomplish because you've done so much already?
It's kind of hard to stop and kind of look back just because we play every day. It's just you're constantly doing things, you know, constantly have people coming to visit. You just don't really have a lot of time to think. You're getting preparing for games and everything. So, you know, we're at the field at 2 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game. And so I really don't get a whole lot of time to think. And then in the off season, I want to enjoy myself and go do whatever I want. But, you know, I don't know exactly what else I want to accomplish other than winning more World Series. I do know my end goal is definitely to have a Hall of Fame speech one day. And so I think that goal in itself is kind of what drives me each and every day, because you can't take any days off, you know. And so I think that's pretty much the last thing that I want to accomplish is just a Hall of Fame speech. But that just only comes with time and time and consistency. And that's tough to do, but, you know, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, no, that's solid, man. You'll definitely get there one day. But like you said, it's just going to come with time. And what you're saying isn't rare. Like, I feel like anybody that's like in their craft or doing something that they love, like, you don't really stop to kind of like, you know, appreciate, you know, the journey. A lot of times we talk to athletes or actors, they don't really like reflect until after it's all over with, which is kind of crazy. But we're going to take this time to give you your flowers, man, because, you know, you're doing amazing. You're young. You've accomplished a lot. You're a great father, man. So this platform is to really just give you your roses in the moment, whether you want to stop to, you know, smell them or not. Like, we're going to give them to you right now, man. And I think it's just dope, you know, what you're doing. And in all transparency, like, I'm not really a big baseball guy, but I just appreciate greatness. So anybody that's great at what they do, I understand the like work ethic that goes behind that. So it always kills me when I see people online like just talking like bad about people who like play sports and stuff like that. It's like these people are like professionals, like you just on Facebook typing, man. So like I appreciate greatness, man. So like we just salute you in the moment, man. So
thank you, man. Thank you, man.
Definitely, definitely. So then moving us forward, man, we definitely want to get to this conversation. What we really brought you here today to talk about is fatherhood, man. We love having these conversations, especially with, you know, newer dads who are still, you know, trying to figure it out on a day to day. And we also talk to older guys who are even grandparents now. But for you specifically, how would you describe yourself as a father?
You know, I think I do all right. You know, I wouldn't say I'm a great dad, just because I can't be there with her all the time. I'm traveling, you know, I miss, you know, when she has her little dance practices, I can't be there. I literally can't just because of my work. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the time that goes into preparing for work, you know, it's just a lot. It's just a lot of time. And so when I'm with her, I try and be present and play with her, hang out with her. But I just can't be there as much as I really want to be there. And so that's why I think I would say I'm all right. I wish I really could be there a lot more and just to see her grow up and whatnot. But, you know, it's just you got to give something to get, man. And if you want to, you know, for me, if I want to be great at my sport, great at what I do, that takes time. You know, it takes time. And then if you want to be a great father, that takes time as well. And so, you know, being pulled in two directions, and it's just it's really hard, really, really, really hard. And so, you know, I'm still trying to figure it out. It's tough to do. She's about to start school, so that's even more time away. You know, and I get home at, you know, 10:30, 11 at night, you know, I get 10 minutes with her and then, you know, she's going to sleep. And so, it's rough. But you know, I'll figure out how to make it work, man. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is at this point.
Yeah. I want to say to that, you know, I think I appreciate the honesty and the transparency about it. You know, you recognize and you see the conflict there of wanting to be great at your craft and the thing that you've, you know, been working so very hard at your whole life, but then also wanting to be great, as a father too, and noticing that, you know, certain things have prevented you from getting there. But I know Jesse has a question, but I just wanted to say, man, as a dad and, you know, somebody who's been doing it for, my oldest is 12 now, you just got to give yourself grace, man. You know, understand like you're doing the best you can. And when the time that you do have, you maximize and take advantage of that. And I think your daughter is going to appreciate and knowing that when you could be there, you were there. So like, don't be so hard on yourself as you navigate it. You know, and just shout out to your family for being able to support you too, while you're out chasing your dreams, to know that they're holding it down and you don't have to worry about that while you kind of lock in on the sports piece.
I try and you know, give them all the tools to make sure she's good and while I'm not there. And like you said, I'll give myself a little grace then. I feel a little bit better.
Yeah. No, and to James, I was actually going to hit on that same point with what James said, because we talk about it all the time, is like, not only, you know, giving are, you know, fathers, mothers, parents grace for, you know, what they have to go through growing up. Give yourself grace as well on the journey, man. Like, what you're building is like so much bigger than, you know, like, she's going to know, like, once she gets able to like realize who you are and what you do, like, she's going to know what's all for her. So just give yourself a grace along the way, like James said. And I want to know, like, you know, it's kind of been this whole girl dad thing, like, since having a baby girl, like, what is that like sparked up in you? Like, has that changed you at all as just like a Black man, like having a baby girl?
Yeah, for sure. You know, a father-daughter relationship, my father, between me and Kinley, we're obviously, she's really, really attached and wants to, you know, want me to hold her and everything. But it more affected me and my wife. I feel like now it's my job to set an example of what I want Kinley to, what the relationship I want her to have. And so, you know, everything between me and my wife, we're always talking, we're always, you know, hugging, touching, those little things that I want Kinley to see. So when she grows up, she's not guessing at who the man that she wants. She knows, she's seen a good relationship. And so she knows what a good relationship really looks like. And I really feel like that has helped me and my wife. And then it's also helped me and my daughter as well, because she's so cuddly and affectionate. And she didn't really start out that way. And so, you know, we were kind of worried that she was heartless for a little while. you know, since me and Bree have really made it a point to make sure we talk, and whenever we argue or whenever Kinley hits someone or does something bad, we make sure that she comes and talks to us. It's not all about, you know, just whooping her and then keep it moving. Like she doesn't really learn communication that way. And so, you know, if I hurt her feelings by yelling at her, Brianna makes sure that Kinley comes and tells me I hurt her feelings and why I hurt her feelings. You know, I make sure I apologize and those type of things. And so I really feel like it's made it being a girl dad has helped with communication, all the little important things that just go into relationships that I think people overlook.
Yeah, and I want to hit on something with that, because if I'm not mistaken, you and your wife have been together since you were how old, like 12 years old or something, right? Y'all were together since y'all were kids, and now y'all are raising kids. Yeah. It's kind of crazy. Like, for how long of y'all relationship had y'all talked about, like, oh, in the future, like, we want to have kids? Like, when did those conversations kind of start?
I would say probably in high school. You know, when you're young, you don't really expect to be together that long. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, my parents, they were like, you know, this is when I, you know, when you say I love, tell someone you love them in high school, you probably don't really mean it, you know. But, you know, my parents were really skeptical about, you know, Bree, and as they should be, you know, they want me to focus on, you know, playing baseball, playing basketball, focus on, you know, my craft and what I wanted to become in life. And as I was doing that, I was still finding time to be with Bree. And, you know, they allowed it, you know, they weren't, you know, didn't give me any pushback, but no, they did want to make sure that, you know, I made sure I took care of my job or whatever I was doing. And I think just me carving out time to spend with Bree, I think meant something in general, because if she didn't really mean anything to me, then I don't know that I would have made sure that I missed some tournaments just to go to the movies and go hang out. You know, this weekend with Bree and whatnot, and she was come to tournaments and those things to watch. So, you know, not looking back, you know, we definitely did carve out a lot of time to spend with each other. And I think in doing that, that just meant like something was there. Then as we got older, you know, it got a little easier, to be with her and to spend time with her and to really do, you know, talk about kids, you know, and when it was like just kind of in our conversation, that's when I had an idea, you know, she was going to be the one.
Now that's really dope, man. And, you know, kudos to you guys for sticking together and being by each other's side this long, man, and then kind of going out and starting your own family. So you mentioned, you know, the dynamic that you and your daughter have, but then also you and your wife Bree have. How does that impact your parenting style? Like, who's the disciplinarian? Who's the fun parent? Like, what does that breakdown look like between you and your wife?
I would say I have to be the disciplinarian, just because I guess my voice, Kinley listens a little more than if Bree says something. But we don't, our parenting style, we both agree, like, we don't feel like whoopings and all those type of things are necessary unless it calls for extreme measures, you know. We feel like we can get a lot accomplished just by talking. And it's worked so far. You know, obviously they're kids and they're going to make mistakes and do those type of things. But, you know, I also don't want Kinley to be scared of one of us, you know, when someone's mad. Like, you know, I think you know, I don't want to be, I don't want her to be running and you know, being scared of getting whooped, this, that, and the other, unless she's done something really bad. But she hasn't really done anything that bad just yet. You know, so really everything kind of we can just talk about it. And when we talk about it, you know, I feel like it works. You know, I'm not sure yet, but I feel like it does work. I know it works for me and Bree. It's easier for both of us to go talk to her, talk to Kinley, than for one of us to whoop her, because, you know, there was a couple of times, you know, she could have gotten a whooping, but I looked at Bree, I wasn't going to do it. And she looked at me like she wasn't going to do it. And so at that point, we just decided, you know, we're just trying to talk to Ken and maybe develop some communication skills and whatnot. Look at it from that lens.
No, that's solid, man. And I love to hear that. And, you know, me and James kind of talk about this all the time on the pod, is like getting people's different perspectives on parenting styles and, you know, disciplinarians and things of that nature. So we appreciate your transparency there. But something I wanted to kind of like tap into, because we've kind of talked a little bit about it as far as like that tug of war between your career and raising your daughter and being a father, being a husband, being a friend, being a son. One of the things that we focus on a lot here at Dear Fathers is mental health and our Straight Mental initiative. Do you do anything to kind of manage your mental through all of that? Because that's a lot, man. You're in a very demanding career. You know, have you ever tapped into, you know, seeing a therapist, or do you do anything to kind of, you know, maintain your mental through trying to balance all of that at one time?
You know, I listen to books, man. On my car rides in, you know, I feel like I've changed so much. You know, when you used to get in the car, you used to just bump music and you know, just be banging going through the streets. But now I don't even listen to music anymore, man. I turn on, I listen to books, like mental health books. I know Will Smith book has really, really changed my perspective on life. There was a book, David Goggins, those two books, it's called Can't Hurt Me. Both of those books have really kind of changed my perspective on life and just the way I view just any little situation, all those situations that you just said, being a son, being a father, being the athlete, you know, being in Hollywood, all those type of things, just really and putting everything into perspective. You know, and not really putting too much stock into everything at one time and just trying to, you know, kind of juggle it all, you know, being in the moment with everything, you know, it's tough. It's hard. It's really hard because baseball is so, so time demanding. And but, you know, it is what it is. You know, you got to figure out how to make it work, because I got 10 more years left. So I got to figure out how to do it all. And, you know, be the best that I could be at everything.
Yeah, no, that's really dope. And very introspective, just kind of thinking about like all of the different things that you have to manage and the struggle that comes along with that. But, you know, kind of segueing and piggybacking off of that, you signed a long-term deal. You know, you got at least 10 more years, if not more, after that contract of playing, right? But then, you know, you and Bree also have a daughter now. Have you guys talked about extending your family? Like, do you want to have a son one day? Or do you think about like, man, how am I going to have another kid while also having this demanding career too? What has that been like for you?
Oh, I definitely do want to have a son. I was the only child growing up. My dad had another son and a daughter, but they were much older than me. So I really just grew up by myself. And, you know, I always asked my mom for a little sister. And so, but, you know, I never got one. And so I just didn't want Ken to grow up by herself. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, having a little, I wouldn't call it companion, but a little relationship with a little brother, a little sister, whatever, would definitely help her, you know, help her. I know I'm gone so much, and Bree is starting to have to spend time in other places because she, you know, she's working. And so Kinley is kind of by herself or with a nanny a lot. And I feel like another little brother, little sister, someone she can spend time with, someone she can look and have inside jokes with, you know, those little laughs, those little things would be very beneficial for her. And, you know, it's tough to say that you know, her growing up by herself with a little, we do have a really good village to help raise her, but they're all adults. And so she didn't really get any kid time outside of going, you know, she's about to start school. But when she's home, you know, there's all adults around. I feel like a little bro, little sister can, that she can play with, can help help her childhood, because you can't really go out in the street like you used to, man. You know, when I was younger, I was a kid, but I was the only child. But I could just open my door and run up the street and go get whoever, you know. Mm-hmm. We can get neighborhood. We get 10 or 11 people, and we go play basketball or football or whatever it is. But nowadays, you can't do that. And so, you know, it's pretty much everything in the house. And so, I think having someone, a little brother, little sister in there will definitely help her for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense, man, because I was the same as you. I grew up an only child as well. But like you said, I could just go outside, go up the street, play basketball, just run around, ride bikes. So it's a little bit different these days. And I want to ask, like, you know, obviously it's something that, you know, may happen in the future. And you say you do want a baby boy. And if you did have a son, would you want him to be a junior? And would you, you know, want him to also play baseball too as well? Is that something that you kind of dream of, like in the back of your mind?
No, I want him to have his own identity. I don't want him to, it's already going to be hard enough as Mookie's son, and everybody's going to expect so much of him. You know, if hopefully he's good at sports, if not, you know, whatever. I definitely don't expect him to be just, you know, the greatest of all of us or whatever. But if he is, cool, we'll roll with it. But I definitely want him to have his own identity, live his own life, do whatever he wants to do. And I just want to support him in whatever. The only thing I really want him to do is play golf. That way he can go to school for free. That's the only thing. Outside of that, you know, he can do whatever he wants to do.
Man, he going to Google your contract, be like, Dad, what you talking about school for free, man? You got it. But yo, man, we have a really dope segment here that you know, we feel is special. It gives guys an opportunity to you know, write a hypothetical letter to their pops. And considering the great relationship you and your dad had, as well as, you know, we're recording this the day before Father's Day, so it's an important weekend for dads in general. You know, we call the segment Dear Fathers, and you know, what we ask is, if you could write a letter to your father starting with Dear Father, what would it say?
I would say, Dear Father, first, I just want to thank you for everything that you've done for me. You know, I think I didn't really pay attention to how good of a dad you were until I got a little older in life. And the only thing I really want to do is be just like you. I want to support my kids in every way that you supported me. I want to love my kids in every way that you love me, and just really just be there, you know, be the sounding board that you were. And I can talk to you about any and everything, and you never judged. You know, if I went 0-4 with 4 strikeouts, you took me to get ice cream the same way I went 4-4 with, you know, 3 or 4 homers. And so he was consistent, you know, just little things like being there after school. My dad was there after you were there after school, you know, mopping the court, you know, for us to play basketball and make sure that the court was clean, or making sure that the dirt in the infield was all clean and everything. And just running the concession stand, all those things that you did to support me and my friends and my family, or not my family, but the baseball family, should I say, is just, it means the world. And I can't thank you enough, and I can't tell you that I love you enough, and it means everything to me.
No, that's solid, man, and I love the transparency there, and even in just this short amount of time, man, I could tell how much just those subtle things that you were saying, we picked up on, like, oh, like, he definitely instilled, you know, a foundation in you, which probably helped you become the great baseball player that you are, so definitely salute to your pop, salute to you. And but before we get out of here as well, man, we like to just kind of lighten the mood. You know, you're writing a deep letter to your dad. We like to kind of just chime in to some other stuff real quick. So we're going to do just a few rapid fire questions, man. Basically like this or that, you know, you answer them in 5 seconds and we just kind of, you know, go with it, man. So I'll kick it off. Steph or Kobe?
Kobe.
Kobe. Okay. Breakfast or dinner?
Breakfast.
Breakfast. Ken Griffey or Barry Bonds?
Oof. I'm going to go with Griffey.
Griffey, okay. Now, we know that you, you know, do your thing in bowling too as well. Is that right?
I do.
Okay, so bowling a perfect game or a grand slam home run, which one is more, like, impactful for you?
Impactful for me, I would have to say a grand slam.
Okay, okay. Now, I know you say you don't listen to music as much, but we're going to get you with a music option too. J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar?
Man, I'm a Cole guy. I'm a Cole guy.
Okay.
And be in LA saying that out loud, Mookie.
I know. But you gotta think I'm from the East Coast though. So
yeah. You are.
I'm saying that's me.
Now that's really dope, man. And you know, definitely we love doing that with guests because we get to learn a little bit more about you too. And you know, see what some of the things that are more personal to you. So definitely great answers there. And before we get up out of here, man, we definitely want to let the people know how can they follow you on social media and what's next for Mookie.
Man, Mookie Betts, on Twitter and Instagram. And then what was the second question? My bad.
What's next for you? What can the people look forward to from you?
Man, I do have some production. I have a little production company I just started. We have a little Jackie Robinson doc coming out. We got a couple game shows coming out. That'll be a little, all that. I didn't realize that production, that whole thing takes so long, but, you know, got a little while, but it's going to come out at some point. And really just more baseball, man. You know, I got a lot of things coming up with baseball, and All-Star weekend is going to be a lot. And so, you know, if you guys are out, man, come on through so I can meet you guys and we can hang out and kick it, man.
Yeah, that's dope, man. One thing I'm going to say to you, and I had to tell myself this all the time, don't put little in front of nothing you got going on, man. You said a little production company, man. Like,
it's
bigger than that. But no, we definitely want to, you know, continue to build with you, tap in with you, man. One of our actual, you know, goals is working with sports organizations to further the conversation around mental health and fatherhood. We actually recently in April partnered with the Atlanta Hawks for a pregame panel discussion on fatherhood and mental health. Our goal is to hopefully package those things, take them to the NFL, take them to the MLB, because it's definitely needed. So having this conversation with you, man, it was great. It was therapeutic for me. Like I said, I appreciate greatness. So understanding like more of who you are as a Black man and as a father, man, it just, you know, it makes it all even more special, man. So we appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me on, man. This is super dope. You know, definitely a breath of fresh air, super refreshing. And just to know that you're talking about something else other than baseball, something that actually means something, you know, feelings and emotions are all run through with all this whole conversation. And so, you know, this means a lot, man. Thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you, man. Enjoy learning more about you, man. So good luck with everything. Good luck on the season. We need another championship.
I'm Aya Tometi. I'm sure you've heard the saying, but it really does take a village. That's why I chose Kinley, a financial services company proudly built for Black America. Together, we create solutions. Go to BEKINLY.com to download the app today.
Standard data rates from your wireless service provider may apply. The Kinley deposit account is established by Central Bank of Kansas City, member FDIC. The Kinley Visa debit card is issued by Central Bank of Kansas City. Consult the deposit account agreement and fee schedule for complete details.
Time is money and I'm working on that richer meal. It's up to me to drop the ball like I'm finna...